Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's National Lawyers Committee Harvard University Affirmative Action Case Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register at any time by pressing the star, then one on your touchtone phone. Please note this call may be recorded, and I'll be standing by if you should need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn today's call over to Don Owens, Director of Communications at the National Lawyers Committee. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and thanks everyone for joining us on the call today. We'll have a really quick and efficient call. Welcome to the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law, Law's pre-argument press call before tomorrow's court proceedings in Harvard University versus SFFA. Today's call will be about 15 to 20 minutes, depending on your questions. The speaker portion of today's call will be handled by John Greenbaum. A reminder to journalists, if you'd like to immediately place yourself in the question queue, you can press star and one at any time, and the operator will place you in the queue. Again, that's star and one. So let's begin. John, begin speaking whenever you're ready.
Thanks, Don. Hi, everybody. I'm John Greenbaum. I'm the Chief Counsel at the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. And as Don mentioned, I'm here to talk about the SFFA versus Harvard case, which is going to be argued in the First Circuit Court of Appeals in Boston tomorrow. And you can catch the arguments at 2 o'clock. You can catch the oral argument on YouTube. The Lawyers Committee, along with Asian Americans Advancing Justice, Lawyers for Civil Rights, and the law firm of Arnold & Porter, represents a racially diverse group of students at Harvard and alums who are on the side of Harvard in this case, which is a challenge to Harvard's affirmative action plan. We've been involved in this case since 2014. We were given special status to participate at the trial. Four of our students testified at trial. Our students' applications became part of the trial record at trial, which at the trial level Harvard won, and Students for Fair Admissions is now appealed, and that appeal is going to be argued tomorrow in front of the First Circuit. And my colleague David Hinojosa, who heads our Educational Opportunities Project, is going to be participating as part of that argument. So as I mentioned before, this case involves whether Harvard's affirmative action program is consistent with the law. Harvard has been used by the Supreme Court in other cases. It's been used as sort of a shining example as to how to use race in a constitutional way in an admissions process to ensure that the classes at the university are diverse and reflect a diversity of views. And for more than 40 years, going back to the Bakke case in 1979, the Supreme Court has upheld the university's interest to maintain student body diversity and admissions policy that considers race as one of many factors. And in that 1979 Bakke case and the Supreme Court case in 1993, the Grutter case, the courts actually pointed to was Harvard's use of race as being a shining example as to how to use it. And one of the things that we saw in our case, as I mentioned before, our student applications became part of the record in our case. And of our students that testified, we had a Black student, Sarah Cole, a Latinx student, and two Asian students were among those that testified. And what we actually saw in the applications was that race being commented about in a positive way, not only on behalf of our Latinx student, but also with respect to both of our Asian students. And one of the things that makes this case different than some of the previous cases that have been brought in the affirmative action context is that this case was brought on behalf of Asian students, allegedly. And as I said, one of the things that we saw in the files were that one of our students, Tang Diep, who's Vietnamese, there was, in the file, they talked about how in his essays he references Vietnamese heritage. He talked about the fact that when Tang moved to the United States, in order to be able to enunciate words, that he would put a pencil in the middle of his mouth and speak doing that. And Harvard looked upon this as a positive. And then our other Asian student, Sally Chen, one of the recommendations that she had in high school from a guidance counselor was, don't tell your immigrant story as part of your essays. Well, Sally decided, you know what? That is a big part of my story, and talked about her experience growing up as a Chinese American in San Francisco. And again, this was something that was positively credited by Harvard. You know, on the flip side, the plaintiffs in this case, SFFA, had the opportunity to look at close to 500 applications. And they weren't able to find anything in those applications that indicated that that being Asian was reflected on negatively by Harvard during the process. So, you know, part of the reason for our participation tomorrow is to sort of tell the story from the perspective of the students, because our clients are concerned that if you eliminate the consideration of race at Harvard, it's going to harm the rewarding educational environment encouraged by diverse perspectives. And also, just the idea that of having a colorblind policy, or universities being forced to have a colorblind policy, is just not consistent with what students' experiences are, what people's experiences are today, and those student perspectives are those that will benefit not only the fellow students on campus, but the university as a whole. So those are my opening remarks, and I'm happy to answer any questions that people may have.
Go right ahead.
I apologize. At this time, if you do have a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone phone. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, that is star then one. And we'll take our first question from Patricia Hurtado with Bloomberg News. Please go ahead.
Yes, I was wondering, are you guys going to be allowed to provide any amicus arguments tomorrow? I know that the court allows some friends of the court to make a presentation. Are you going to address also, second part, are you going to address the lack of students, plaintiffs in the case, or their non-appearance?
So thank you for those questions. The answer to your first question is, yes, we are getting 5 minutes of argument time tomorrow as part of the argument. In the answer to the second question, one of the things that I don't know if we'll directly talk about the fact that we may talk about the fact that there's no face beyond SFFA. But in addition to that, the fact that even beyond the organization SFFA and who the students might be that are part of that, the fact that SFFA wasn't able to point to individual students that they believed were discriminated. And there were no individual students that testified on behalf of SFFA in their case, which is a striking contrast to the fact that we did have four students, as I mentioned before, racially diverse students that testified, that talked about their experiences. And there was also testimony as to how these students contributed on campus. I think, you know, one notable story is about how Sarah Cole, one of our students, she was on campus at the time that Michael Brown was killed by a police officer. And the dean at Harvard actually asked Sarah to help him in terms of how to work with the students on campus at that time in terms of dealing with the emotions and the issues that students were raising at the time. And that to me is a great reflection in terms of when you have a racially diverse campus, how our clients and how other students of color are able to contribute to the university as a whole.
Okay, and once again, that's star one for any questions. And there appears to be no further questions at this time.
Okay. Thanks, everyone, for joining us today for this quick call. If you have any questions, you can contact the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law press office at press@lawyerscommittee.org. Again, that's press@lawyerscommittee.org. Thank you, folks, for joining. We'll be back in touch.